at this through your perspective, but let me show you a little bit about what we can do together. That's one of the best things about God, is that he's interested in doing it with us. He doesn't expect us to do it alone. A lot of times we expect to do it. We expect to be the ones to accomplish what he asks us to do. But today he wants us to think about it a little bit differently. What can we do together? You see, the role of the Holy Spirit for us is to equip us, is to help us, is to guide us. And too often we don't engage with the Holy Spirit. We don't. But if we would stop and we would engage, then we would learn and we would see and we would go, and he would do what we cannot do. God invites us to partner with him to fulfill his plan and to carry out his mission. Don't forget, he's with you. He's equipped you. He's called you. Our responsibility is to respond to that and to align our hearts and to align our lives and to align our minds so that we can receive his purpose, his mission, his plan. In our own strength, we're gonna feel incapable. There's some things right now, personally, I'm looking at it, coming out of meetings, and I'm thinking, whoa, Lord, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna do this? And when I start to feel a little bit unsure and a little bit insecure, then I'm like, okay, wait, we're gonna do this because you're with us. We're gonna do this because you're working through us. It's not what we have to do, but it takes our willingness and God's power, his spirit working in us to give us the victory. You see, when God called Gideon, he didn't pick who we would pick. He didn't pick the most seasoned strategic warrior. He took the guy with the least amount of experience. And he said, I want you to lead my army. Gideon began with an army of 32,000 men. That's a pretty decent-sized army, not one I would want to come into contact with. But they were going up against the Midianites, who were so large that they stopped counting the army at 120,000. So that's four times the Israelites. But in a way that only God can do, he says, no, your army's too big. You have too many men, Gideon. I can't imagine coming out of the prayer room where God said, you have too many, when I know I'm already way outnumbered. But Gideon said, okay, all right, Lord. And he went out to the men and he said, if you're afraid that you're going to go into battle and you're not coming home, just go home now. And nearly two-thirds of his army left. Can you imagine? Two-thirds, 22,000 men leave your army. God wasn't done. He said, Gideon, wait. That's still too many. Seriously? Still too many. Take him to the brook. Have him get some water. See how they respond. So Gideon took him to the brook and he watched. And as they reached in to get water, he only took the ones who took water while looking, the ones who stayed on guard. And he ended up with how many? 300. Very good. 300. He started with 32,000 and he ended with 300. This room sits. If we sit like sardines, we can get 600 in here. That's how big his army was, half the size. God made victory nearly impossible because he wanted the Israelites to understand one thing. Their strength was not in themselves, it was his strength. Oftentimes God uses us and we're like, wow, look what I did. And he says, no, look what I did. Look what I did. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God depicted as a holy warrior who fights for his people. Moses told the Israelites who were being hunted down by the angry Egyptians in Exodus 14:14 that the Lord shall fight for you. You just hold your peace. The Levite Jehaziel told King Jehoshaphat's army in 2 Chronicles 20, the battle is not yours, but God's. You shall not need to fight in this battle. King Hezekiah boldly declared in 2 Chronicles 32 that with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. Though we may not be fighting the same flesh army like they fought. God still invites us today to rest in him and in his power. When he wins, only he gets the glory because he's the one who fights the battle. Our job is to trust in God, to rest in him, to remember. Remember in Ephesians when we started out this series that God is far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And Paul later encouraged us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The very ones over which God is sovereign. He's over it all. So Gideon gathers his tiny little micro army, and they go to the armory to get weapons. And once again, God gave Gideon some very interesting battle plans. Can you imagine the look of confusion on the soldier's face when Gideon hands out water pitchers, torches, and trumpets? I feel like we're going to go to war with the four-year-old class. This army probably felt like their leader should have spent a lot more time in the situation room figuring out what the battle plan should be. But Gideon was listening to the Lord, and though it didn't make sense, there was no logic in it for him, he trusted the word of the Lord, and he trusted where he was leading him. So he took this band of 300 men with their water pitchers, their torches, and their trumpets, and they went to war. They went to war. But before they went to war, God encouraged Gideon to go down against the camp in Judges 7:9. Go down there. Go spy it out. I've delivered it into your hand. I can imagine as Gideon went on that secret mission, how he crept fearful of what he might find. He's scouting out the enemy. But as he listens, he hears a soldier whispering. He's talking about a dream that God gave him where Gideon defeated us. He overcame us. The soldier's voice shook with fear, and another one said, it's the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon that's going to overcome us. And in that moment, Gideon was shown, the Lord showed him, that the Midianites were just as afraid of him as he was of them. Have you ever been trapped in your mind? Just stuck in your thoughts? You just can't get over it? It's not a fun place to be. But if we'll go to God and we'll ask him. What I love about this in Gideon's story is that God came to him. God came to him. I don't know what it was, but I have to think that he had a heart for God because of the ways that he was able to hear God. Because you're either plain old crazy, or you're definitely following after God if you're going to go to war with 300 men, with water pitchers, torches, and trumpets. But Gideon went, and he stopped in that moment when he heard, and he was like, okay, Lord, I know you are going to win this battle. You're going to do it. Because why would the Midianites, this army of 120,000 men, be afraid of us? Well, they didn't know that the army only consisted of 300. They didn't have that piece of information yet. But here they were, and Gideon saw God in it. And like Gideon, we have an opportunity to respond to God's invitation to join his plan. His plan. Which means that sometimes we have to set aside our plan. Even when it doesn't make sense. And it's a plan of water pitchers, torches, and trumpets. God knows. He knows each one of us. He created us. He knows our emotions. He knows our thoughts. He knows our fears. There are some of you that I have talked to. I know the Lord is calling you into something deeper, and you are terrified. You are paralyzed by your feelings of inadequacy. You're paralyzed by your feelings of nervousness. Let me tell you, the nerves never go away. But the confidence comes from him. The confidence comes from him. He knows you. He created you. He gave you those emotions. And it's okay to be nervous. It's okay, because that means that you're placing your confidence in something outside of yourself. And the way that God interacts with Gideon demonstrates to you and I how he's going to work with us right where we are. In our humanity, in our fears, in our doubts. What is he asking? He's saying, give unto me, Jess. I'll work with you in the middle of that. And you'll hear me, you'll see me, and you'll know. You'll know that I am with you. There are so many people in the pages of Scripture who express their doubts. They express their questions, their fears, when facing the impossible. But we read their stories, and now today we call them heroes. Why? Because their moments of fear didn't define who they were. Because they didn't allow it to be the end of their story. They chose to trust in God, and God met them there. And together, they found victory, because God fights for us, and he fought for them. So Gideon returned back from the camp to his tiny army with a new sense of courage. And he divided his army up into three companies, gave each one of them their water pitcher, their torch, and their trumpet. And in Judges 7:17, it says, and he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch when I come to the edge of the camp. You shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all you who are with me, then you shall also blow the trumpets on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And right around midnight, Gideon gave his signal, and the Israelites blew their trumpets. They broke their pitchers, and they shouted their war cry. And suddenly, God moved. God rose up and sent that enemy camp into a panic. I have to imagine the sound that echoed wherever they were, that the Lord used that with the broken pitchers, the trumpets, the noise that was stirred. And I have to believe that God just multiplied that, because the scriptures tell us how the Midianites, most of them died from friendly fire. That means they attacked each other. The Israelites didn't attack them. The Israelites did as God instructed. You see, God's ways are higher than ours. Not only can he move upon us, but he can move upon the enemy. He can move upon the other side. He can orchestrate things and put things into play that we have no idea what he's up to. Our job is to trust him and to listen to the instructions that he gives us. That's our job. Remember those Midianites who tortured and taunted and took from the Israelites for 7 years? The scripture, after all of this is said and done, records that the Midianites never recovered. They never recovered from that night. From that micro army of 300 men. No, it wasn't them. It was the hand of God. God was in it. God did the work. When Gideon realized that he had those enemy armies on the run, he drafted troops from other sides who helped to finish the battle. What is it that you're facing this morning? What enemy are you facing that you feel too powerless to fight? Perhaps you feel unequipped to fight the raging disease in your body. Maybe you're struggling because you don't have the income to fight the threat of bankruptcy. Maybe you don't have enough training and you haven't found enough willpower to fight a relentless addiction. Maybe the enemy's got you stuck inside your mind and you just can't get out. Your feelings of inadequacy. Remember, God didn't ask Gideon to destroy the Midianites on his own. He asked Gideon to participate with him as he destroyed the Midianites. The Apostle Paul and Gideon had much in common, although Paul was much more educated, much more world-renowned. He found himself chained to a prison guard on the prison floor. Yet he found a way to dip his pen in the ink and pen these letters from prison that we've been looking at, to remind every Gideon there and every Gideon here that the answer is not in us, it's in him. It's in him. And we can testify to the power and the greatness of who he is. And whatever he's calling you to this morning, he is faithful to do it. He is faithful to do it. All he wants from you is to submit. Submit your will. Submit your plans. And say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Stand with me this morning. Most people loathe spiders, myself included. I will scream from the basement for my husband to come rescue me from a spider. He won't do it. Kill it. Stomp it. Get it. That's his response. I can now kill a spider. Arachnophobia is the extreme fear of spiders. I don't have that. That's not that bad. But it's a common phobia around the world. Anybody ever read Charlotte's Web? One day, during one war, a spider's web, is all that one man needed to live to fight another day. A U.S. Marine in World War II was fighting alongside his fellow soldiers in a Pacific island where intense gunfire kept raging. In the smoke and the crossfire, he was separated from the unit and he lost touch with them. Alone in the jungle, he heard enemy soldiers working their way toward him. The solo soldier scrambled for cover high on a ridge and found several small caves in the side of the mountain. He quickly crawled inside and thought he was safe for a moment. As he waited there all alone in unfamiliar territory with adversaries in hot pursuit, he prayed, Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. Whatever your will, though, I love you and I trust you. Amen. The prayer ended, and he lay quietly listening to the enemy approach his position in the cave. His confidence wavered, and he thought, well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one. As he feared for his life, he saw a spider begin to weave a web over the mouth of the cave where he was hiding. The enemy soldiers were closing in, and the spider continued to work quietly and quickly on its web, connecting strand after strand, completely unaware of the lethal danger making its way towards the cave. The soldier thought to himself, what I need is a brick wall to hide behind, and the Lord sent a spider. The enemy battalion searched one cave after another until they finally arrived at his. As he mentally prepared to make his last stand, to his amazement and his bewilderment, his enemy simply glanced in the direction of his cave and moved on. Why didn't they search this cave? It dawned on him. It must have looked like no one entered that cave for a long time with that spider web covering the entrance. Had anyone come in, surely they would have broken that web. That young soldier looked toward heaven and he prayed, Lord, forgive me. I had forgotten that in you, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. He might not be answering the prayer the way you think it should be answered, but water pitchers, torches, and trumpets. His ways are so much higher than ours. His strength and his power is so much greater than ours. Gideon understood it. Paul understood it. And today it's my prayer that we might understand it. God is able to fight our battles for us, even when we feel like we have very little to offer. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord. Whatever you ask, whatever you want, and then give him the glory when he does it and when he fights it. For he will win the battle. You can let yourself off the hook this morning because you're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. But if you give it to him and you say, Lord, together, I want to do this together with you. You with me, in me, and working through me. That's how we do this. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your presence that is here. I thank you, God, that your ways are so much higher than my ways and your thoughts are so far beyond my thoughts. God, as we consider this story of Gideon and the way that you called him in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his doubts, God, I pray this morning that you would remind us of your strength, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we don't have the strength, we can turn to you and we can find it. God, I thank you for your faithfulness, especially that faithfulness that remains in the struggle. God, just as you appeared to Gideon in the wine press, I pray, God, this morning that you would meet each one of us here this morning where we are. God, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes to see your presence. Help us to know that you are here. And God, help each one of us to hear your voice, to hear your calling, even in the midst of our own fears and our uncertainties. God, I pray that you would help us to trust that no matter what, no matter what our circumstances, you are with us. You are ready to be here. You are ready to guide us. You are wanting to equip us. God, give us strength. Give us courage to participate. Help us to get up and to be a part of what you want us to do, God. That we would do your work. That we would accomplish your mission. God, I pray that everybody in this room, that you would give us the courage to respond like Gideon. God, even when we don't feel qualified, even when we don't feel like we belong, help us to find strength in who you are. Help us to have faith. Help us to obey. Help us to walk after you because, God, I know you are guiding us. I know you are keeping us. And God, help us to rely on your strength. Help us to be faithful in what you have called us to this morning. God, we trust you. We love you. And we know that a spider web is stronger with you than the brick wall. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand strong in the power of his might. Let his spirit be the one that guides you and keeps you. We have a couple minutes before the kids will be ready, but quarter till, you can pick your children up. Until then, greet somebody, encourage someone, and we will pick back up at 11 o'clock.